The boys are back, ladies and gentlemen. Amber's still on maternity leave, so, you know, we miss you, Amber. We love you. We hope little Wesley is doing great. He's all healthy. But it's your editor-in-chief, Dempsey Pilott, here, joined by the other original co-podcasting host, or co-host, or whatever you want to call him. Who are you, buddy?
It's me, Jordan. Hello.
It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. No, I'm kidding. It's Jordan. Oh, man. It's been a minute since we actually sat down and do one of these. Honestly, if you haven't been listening, Jordan has been working on a slew of other, like, mini segments, podcasts within News from the Castle, right? You have News from the Parks, right?
Yep.
That's already, the first episode is up and available for you guys to listen. Him and another one of our contributors, Josh Martin Jones, does a fantastic job breaking down some of the latest news and upcoming projects at all of the Disney theme parks. And then he's got another project with another one of our contributors, Sarah Taylor. Shout out to Sarah, which should be out by the time you're listening to this. Comics from the Castle, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah. I think. And,
What is that one about? If for those who haven't heard it yet or don't know what it's about, what tell us a little bit about it.
I think they can gather from the title.
Yeah, it's all about your daddies, in case you couldn't figure that one out. Or is that another podcast that we're coming out with, Daddies from the Castle?
Me and Sarah did something involving ranking Hotman. I can't remember if it was that from was, a special.
That was the last. So the past few episodes, I have not been here other than when Jordan was doing his stuff. So there was an episode, and I think it's a pretty lengthy episode, where Jordan literally just starts off with Sarah and Jordan just saying, yeah, Ryan Reynolds is a daddy. What about, I forget who. I only remember the Ryan Reynolds one because I think you guys go.
He definitely wasn't one of them.
Are you sure? Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal then?
No. I think mine were Billy Madison, Ryan Gosling, and
Ryan Gosling. Tom Hardy. Ryan Gosling. That's who it was.
Yeah. and Tom Hardy. Yeah.
Hey, look, I had to listen to it and edit it, so maybe I might just blocked it out, you know, just the trauma of just hearing all these daddies ranked. No, but no, if you want to hear it yourself, if you think it's worth your time or energy, or, you know, if you're just, like, in the mood, you know, to thirst after, I guess, they're not all American, right? Was it all American men that you were thirsting over?
No, Sarah has a thing for, what is her type? She loves Indian men, so I think a lot of them were
Rahul,
like
Kohli?
South Asian.
I think you mentioned him.
Yeah, and someone from RRR.
Oh, I don't know their names.
I don't know their names. Yeah, but the movie is out of this world.
It's insane. That man needs to do the next Fast and the Furious movie. That's my hot take.
Oh, yeah, just not 3 hours long.
Yeah, or you make it 4 hours long. Who cares? I mean, Martin Scorsese era, but all right.
But to your question, it's about comics, Marvel comics.
Of course. yeah. And Sarah actually has a really good handle on everything Marvel comics related. We have another writer. We have a whole bunch of new writers, actually. I want to shout them out in a second. But Sarah, I always love how she's great, and she just has this, like, encyclopedic, if that's a word, knowledge of anything. I remember when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I messaged her immediately. I was like, do you know who Phi Lavelle is? And if you guys have seen the movie, she has an appearance in the post-credit scene. They call her just Phyla, and she's one of those little alien kids that they save, and she has psychic powers all of a sudden. I was a little familiar with her, but I asked her, and she was like, yeah. I was like, really? What do you know about her? She's like, everything. And I was like, can you do a write-up for the site? And she did it. She had it done. So good. She's so well-versed. It's really cool because for somebody who, like me, who's, like, somewhat familiar with the comics, to have somebody else to be like, hey, what do you know about this? Do you think this is going to happen in the MCU? Like, very, very cool. Very appreciative to have Sarah on the team. But going back to what I said before, just to keep you guys updated, we have a bunch of new members on the site. We got this great guy named Arturo from Mexico. He joins Alexis, who is our graphic designer from Mexico. We have Tyler, who is, you might have seen on our TikTok account. He posted a video of him trying to get all the Disney 100 figures. And he has he we talked about this. It's probably gonna be like a series for as long as they have them available. And he's gonna be doing some great content on TikTok for us. He's gonna be working with our other social media person, Cammy. Shout out to Cammy, she always does great work. And then we have Andrea, Madeline, and Angel or Angel. I'm not so sure how he
Angel, it's
pronounces it, but
oh, I yeah,
what?
I was gonna say I thought it was Angel, but now you said you're not sure how he pronounced it,
No,
so I could
yeah,
be
because it
wrong.
has the accent in it, so I'm
Yeah, it
not.
does. Yeah,
So, but he's also really well versed in comic book news, and I love everything that he does for the site. Andrea, she posted a great exclusive about. She's also from Mexico. She bought tickets to see the Jonas Brothers, and the seller did not give them refund. They canceled the show, and they have not gotten a refund. So it's a great piece. We were hoping that somebody like TMZ picked it up because it's not really the Jonas Brothers' fault, but they have not acknowledged it and nobody's gotten their refunds yet at all. So if you want to check that out,
that's
I think it's
really
called
bad.
something Disney to Disgrace or something like that on our website. And then Madeline is like, she's exclusively video game stuff. So we've got a bunch of new diverse voices you'll be hearing from. Hopefully we can try to get some on our podcast. That's my aim for the new year, to have more writers on this, because I want to have more voices on this. Not that I don't love you, Jordan, or I don't love myself, but we are such a diverse team, and I think there's so many different perspectives that we could share, and we have the platform to do it. And I'd also love if there are any other writers of any websites out there, if you'd be interested in coming on the podcast, let us know. Hit us up at the Diz Insider. But let's get into the news, shall we? Right? Yeah.
Before we do, I have one thing. I wanted you to hear from it first because you're mentioned in part two of our comics from the castle.
Oh.
Good things only, I promise. But I just wanted, have you played Spider-Man 2?
I have not played Spider-Man 1 and I have not played Spider-Man 2. I bought the Guardians of the Galaxy game. It's still in the plastic, Jordan.
Oh, that game's actually really good.
I
Nah,
know, and I
people
just don't
slept
have
on that.
time, man.
It
I'm
is
so
good.
sad.
Do it. Play it. It's that's like a good, I feel like that's a good family game. You should like play it with your kids or something. I mean,
Is
it's
it
one player,
multiplayer?
but it's one player, but I mean, just like plug it, just unplug the controller and just say it's on. That's what I
But I
would
do. That's what I do when I play Super Smash Brothers with my kid. All right, or with
do.
myself rather. He thinks he.
With yourself and your kid plays.
All right, what's the question?
Okay, so in Spider-Man 2, Mysterio is in it, and I feel like you haven't told us whether or not you've done the mocap for it because he looks just like you. Like,
The cat.
I don't like, do you see it?
That's funny.
Like, he looks
That's
just like you.
oh man, you should. Oh man, that'd be a great Twitter poll. Is this our editor in chief? Is he moonlighting?
I will post it if you want me to.
Is really good, but no, I've not. I haven't done mocap in like a really long time, since like the Planet of the Apes. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
I was
But
about to say, excuse me, what?
no. That's really funny. Look, it's so weird. Like, I get that they're building their own universe with this, but like some of the characters do look crazy. And I don't like what they did, right? They changed the guy to look slightly like Tom Holland in the first
Yeah,
one.
but yeah, they did, but I've gotten used to it now that I kind of feel like it works a little better because he looks a little bit older than the new one does, and he's only meant to be like 23 in the first game, and I would say he looked older with the original face.
Okay.
Because I've been replaying, I replayed it on the Steam Deck, and he's got his new face, and it's the first time I've played it since his new face, and it just felt a little bit. Felt more like Peter Parker, but he does look a bit too much like Tom Holland at the same time. But then I find out that he's also just a real person they've just stolen his face from.
His
So
actual face. Yeah,
yeah.
that's bizarre. It makes me sad because like they've clearly found success with this kind of game, but it was like, didn't they release that Avengers game in between that I would have thought they
Yeah.
would have had more success with? Another game. That's the last Marvel game I actually played, and I kind of gave up because after like spending, I swear to God, the first weekend I put in like 100 hours, and
Yeah.
then like I stopped, and a month later I plugged it back in and it lost all my progress. So
Oh.
I was like, I'm not started. I love this concept, but I don't love it enough to revisit it and do everything
Yeah.
I did already again.
And I can't play it anyway.
But I feel like, and they're discontinuing service for it, right? If I'm not
Yeah,
mistaken.
I think they have. Yeah.
So it's like I would have thought they would have found more success with that. But then again, Spider-Man's a universally beloved character. I hope that in a perfect world, this would be like what Iron Man was for the MCU, that they could build off a bunch of different games and like a
Yeah.
MCU of video games
I
for
would
this.
love that.
Because yeah, but and I think isn't Insomniac also working right there, the makers, right?
Yeah, of and of Wolverine, yeah.
They're doing the Wolverine one, right?
Yeah.
So that it'd be interesting to see if they could like connect those two.
They have said it's set in the same world.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have said that, but I want to know, other than what, like a newspaper clipping of Spider-Man, is that going to be it, or is he actually going to be like connected?
And they allude to Doctor Strange in this new game. I've seen that, right?
Yes, they do.
He's like a piece
You
of paper
there's,
saying we owe you or something. Wrong
yeah,
fights him.
and yeah, because the Black Cat takes something from the Miss, like the Sanctum Sanctorum, whatever it's called.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But no, I to answer your question in short, no, I've not done mocap. But that's pretty freaking fantastic that you guys picked that up. That is hilarious. But all right, let's get into the news. We're only going to talk about two topics today because I think these are the two biggest topics on everybody's mind right now regarding Disney. We'll do another episode next week where we talk about all the other latest Disney news. But here, we're going to talk about the strikes ending first. They're over, thank God.
Yeah.
And just as I predicted, within like 24 hours of them ending, we start to get all this massive casting news, and all these shows are back in production. Goes to show how thirsty these studios were to just get things up and running. But what are your thoughts about the strike ending? Are you happy? I don't know if the full terms have been released. I know there's a lot of summaries out there, but talk to me about your thoughts. What do you know? And what do you hope to see from this?
I don't know about the writer's strike, but I think the full terms for the actors have been released because a certain Grace Randolph went through it, and I did watch all of that, and it seemed like they had released everything for that. I'm not very good with all the business jargon, so I don't know if it's a good or a bad deal. It seems to be a good deal from the way the actors have been saying. I do like how the writer's strike kind of ended, but when the actor's strike ended, we had to see them on a podium to talk about it. I think they probably could have got a better deal with streaming because it's just based off of subscriber numbers. I think I feel like I would still prefer. I mean, that's probably better than it being through your individual shows. I just wish we had more transparency over how many people are watching what, because it's like what I said in a previous episode with Sarah. Why is like 13 Reasons Why getting like 1,000 seasons, or Riverdale or whatever getting like 7 seasons, and then shows like Daredevil get 4 and then it gets cancelled? I want to know the subscriber numbers because we pay for it, so we deserve to know. But I feel like I've gone off track already because that's not really answering your question.
No. It's that's a good point. I do think subscriber numbers are included in.
Yeah,
And
that's how they
I
get
think
the
that,
residual.
what were you gonna say?
I think that's how they get the residuals. It's based on the
Yeah,
subscriber count.
because of the residuals, that is correct. And like I said, I haven't seen like the specifics online. Like I have seen a lot of people talk about summaries, but I'm eager to see like what the breakdown's gonna be for residuals. It would be curious to see like somebody who was like, I'm pretty sure you were familiar with Orange is the New Black, all the actresses posting their residuals online and they're like 0 or 000.1 or 0.0001 or whatever. So it'd be interesting to see like the before and after for those kind of situations. But also I'm really eager to see, as you said, more num like I think we're gonna have. It's going to be harder for Netflix and HBO or Warner or whatever to justify like scrapping series now
Oh,
that those numbers will be available. But I don't know if they're going to be available to the public. They're going to be available
no,
to.
they're not. They're not going to be available to the public or to the actors or the writers.
Not the
So
actors,
it's
but don't the actors need
no.
to know that?
No, so apparently the money goes into like a pot and the residuals get taken out of that pot. But the only people who see where the money is coming from are the accountants that deal with the distribution of the residuals. So they're still keeping it. They still found a way to keep it all very secret, which really annoys me.
Yeah, and I know that they got the AI protection, but I also know there's gonna be some sick loophole in it.
Yeah, for
That
sure.
yeah, you just know that they're gonna still F around and do it, man. I know deep down in my bones that this is not it. And plus, the contract is only for 3 years.
Yeah, so we'll have
So
another strike though.
in 3 years, what you know what comes out in 3 years, Jordan?
What?
The or supposed to the Avengers movie, the new event. That
Oh
movie's
God,
never
both of
seeing
them,
the light of day.
and Blade probably as well.
Oh, we're probably gonna get a new Blade before like Comic Con. No, actually, I'm actually really excited now because I didn't get a chance to go to Comic Con last year because there was like all the literally the strikes happened. I think that this Comic Con is gonna be actually exciting, and D23 is next year, so I think we're gonna have a lot of excitement on our hands. And we already kind of have like all this casting stuff. Like, we could talk about it briefly, but like, I want to do like a whole, a really a big dedication to like Pedro Pascal as joining the Fantastic Four. What do you think about like the slew of casting news that is coming out and all these other projects that are now quickly being announced?
So exciting. I've never been so excited because it's all happening at once, so it feels a bit overwhelming at the same time, but exciting at the same time. Like Fantastic Four casting, we still get tidbits about what's happening with Blade and some other films and Secret Wars. There seems to be some news every couple of weeks, something's coming out. Very exciting.
But do
That's
you,
if they get made.
yeah, let's hope they get it gets made
Yeah.
exactly. But do you think the damage has been done? Part of me is like really, I agree. I'm happy with you too, but like, I think the damage has already been done. Like, and we're gonna, this goes into like our next topic that we're gonna talk about. Like, I don't think there's as much excitement about franchises anymore, right? Elio got pushed back. I was looking forward to that. I kind of had a feeling that it was either Ellie or Inside Out were going to move because they were going to be released within like 2 months of each other. But
Yeah,
like,
I thought in I didn't realize how far along Inside Out 2 even was. I thought we were
yeah,
still like a year or two out.
they just announced it last year at D23
Yeah.
for it to just be coming out. I'm like, oh, but I don't know if I'm really excited, right? And they had all these movies that were already planned to come out, but it's like it's been so long since we saw a proper press junket tour or like a long leading press junket kind of thing. That I'm like, I'm kind of fine without it. And I know that sucks, but like, I miss seeing the actors. I miss talking to actors about their project, but
Yeah.
like, I don't know if I really, I don't know. Maybe I was thinking more about myself, but like, I know there are people that are excited to have it back, but I feel like the damage has been done that the studios have, they should have shut down everything, is what I'm saying. And the fact that they did it, they were like, no, we're still going to promote your films. We're still going to release all. Think about all those projects that came out that all those people worked hard on that will never get to advertise with them. That they're just now, like, I forget what it was. Somebody posted, oh, Josh Hutcherson posted a behind the scenes photo of Five Nights at Freddy's. Because
Months after it came
now,
out.
the movie came out like a month ago. And it sucks because, like, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm getting lost in my words, but it's. I understand that everybody was in solidarity with each other, but I think that they should have done more to like hold off. The actors, I think, should have if there was anything to do, or if the directors could have done something, stood in solidarity and be like, no, we're not going to release the movies until the actors can do what they want to do. I just think the whole thing is real. It really left a bad taste in my mouth, is
But
what I'm trying to say.
they had their landmark deal, didn't they?
The
And then everyone
directors
went on
got, they so
strike, so
screwed
they just,
themselves. They
yeah.
settled. They screwed.
But it, to be honest, it's like the exact thing I would expect from directors to do, because they're the ones like in charge at the end of the day, like
Yeah.
down from the producers.
It was so weird watching the director of the Haunted Mansion show up to be the only person to promote his film with all the characters from Disney. That was an out-of-body experience, honestly.
Like, it's a good idea on paper to have, oh, we can't have the actors, so we'll just have our Disney cast do it. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to be the director of that film there, because it just would feel like, I don't know, it feels a bit kitschy.
Yeah, it was very creepy. And you can't do that for every film. Do you imagine if they would have done that for the Marvels? They lucked out. that the thing got settled by the time the Marvels came out, that all these they could come out and start doing press last minute. But like, can you imagine Mickey Mouse like with Nia DaCosta at a press junket? That would have been very strange. Very strange. And that's the next thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Marvels in just a second. But anything in particular you're excited that's going to be starting production, or that you're eager to hear casting about, Disney related or otherwise?
Probably Deadpool 3, because I didn't realize how much of a Deadpool fan I seem to actually be until I checked my letterbox, and apparently I've watched the film like every year for like 2 years now, like both of them. And I am really excited for the third one because it might be a bit of an unpopular opinion, but I personally really do love all the multiverse stuff that they're doing, because this is like a childhood dream coming true to see different versions of like my favorite superheroes come together, and to see it happen. Like, the whole multiverse saga has been completely disappointing. I've said it so many times that there has not really been too much multiverse stuff for a multiverse saga. So that's confusing. But I'm excited when we actually get some multiverse stuff. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing if some of the rumors of Deadpool 3 come true.
You want to see Taylor Swift as Dazzler. I could tell.
Oh, yes.
It's gonna
Yeah.
happen. It's gonna the,
Love.
if not Dazzler, something else. So I don't know. I just think it's too
Oh, is
convenient.
she really in it? Is that like true?
I don't know. Well, no, I really
Yeah.
don't know. But dude, she was hanging out with them at like the game a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, remember?
That is true.
Like,
I
how
just
can it not be true? And she's like really buddy buddy with Shawn Levy for some reason. That's so random. That's such a random friendship, in my opinion. But
Oh, it must be true. Oh, I don't really like her.
I'm more excited about the potential of seeing like some of our favorite fan cast as like variants. Like, right, there's the rumor that Taron Egerton might be a Wolverine, and I know that
And Dan Radcliffe was rumored as well.
Daniel Radcliffe as well. I know Taron Egerton and Hugh Jackman are really good friends. They worked on a couple of projects together, so would not be surprised. But neither here nor there. Let's use the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a jumping point for what else we're going to talk about today. The Marvels. Don't worry, guys. Please don't click away. We're not going to be one of those podcasters that have been talking smack about how it sucks. Because I actually enjoyed it. How it, Brie Larson bad, internet is right for being against her. No, that's not my opinion at all. Love Brie Larson. Have been a fan of her, believe it or not, since there was this great Disney movie, Disney Channel movie. I think it was called On the Right Track. You familiar with what I'm talking about, Jordan?
No, but it rings a bell. I might have seen it actually. I'm not too sure.
Disney movie. Hold on. Pardon me. I'm doing right on track. There we go. Brie Larson was in it with the girl from Seventh Heaven. It wasn't a great Disney Channel original movie, but Brie Larson was in it when she was a little girl. And then a few years later, she came out with some major song that was like on MTV and stuff like that. And actually had a little crush on Brie Larson for a very brief window of my childhood. And then one day, she disappeared. And I was like, oh man, she must be like a one-hit wonder, whatever. She'll come back one day. I was telling myself this. And then all of a sudden, she starts appearing in all these movies, right? She's in Scott Pilgrim, which the anime is really good. Have you been watching it?
I haven't. No, I do
Oh,
want to
it's
watch it.
unlike the movie. It leans more into the comic books, but it actually has some stuff that isn't in the comic books or graphic novels.
Okay.
So definitely recommend it. She appeared in a bunch of like these teen comedies for a bit, and then all of a sudden she appears in
He.
A24's Room, and she wins an Oscar, and she becomes an awards darling, and then she becomes Captain Marvel. So look,
He's in 13 again.
13 again,
With
13 again.
Jennifer Garner. I think
On
she's one
13
of the
going on
villains.
30?
What did I say?
13 again?
That's a different film, isn't it? 17
17
again.
again. Yeah, they're all,
Yeah, no.
it's the same shit. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But
She's in the
that's.
Jennifer Garner one.
Oh, I didn't know that. See? Brie
Yeah.
Larson, look, I
But
see you,
I
Brie
know her.
Larson.
Oh, sorry, you finished.
No, I said I see you, Brie Larson. That's it. But
I know her from a show I watched back in secondary school called United States of Tara. It was on Showtime.
Oh, with Hereditary, Toni Collette.
Yeah, Toni Collette, where she has multiple personalities.
She
And
plays her daughter.
yeah, and that's the first time I'd really knew who she was, because it's before Room, and hadn't really, well, she hadn't been had many big roles, I don't think, had she, at that point. But I used to have to watch it illegally online on one of them dodgy websites, because we don't have Showtime here and they weren't showing it on any channels. So every week, me and my friend Aaron would like go on our little dodgy pirate website to watch United States of Tara, and she was one of our favorite characters.
It's a great show. That shows Toni Collette's range. It was ahead of its time because she Toni Collette
Oh,
has like
yeah.
multiple personality disorder, right?
She is playing like those characters, they're all different characters, they're all the same body, but she is able to switch characters so quickly, so fast. It's just,
So,
I can do that.
yeah, Toni Collette, you're gonna get your Oscar one day. I promise. Don't worry. I'll do something. I'm Toni Collette's campaign manager. Okay. No, but in all seriousness though, I could talk about Brie Larson for days. Tiana Paris, love her. I the first time I ever saw her in anything, I think it was in Barry Jenkinson's If Beale Street Could Talk. And I think she's not the main character, that's Kiki Layne. She plays Kiki Layne's sister in the movie. And I remember there's this one scene where they're all at a party or they're all like at a dinner and they're talking about her getting pregnant or whatever. And Tiana Paris steals that entire scene. And I remember watching it, and I'm like, that girl is so good. I really hope she becomes something big. And look at her. She's freaking Photon, guys. Or Spectrum, or whatever the hell they call her. Because she
Where
doesn't
are
even
they gonna call
have a real name in the movie, which is great. I love that, by the way.
that?
And then Iman Vellani, who's a star right from the get-go, she's the future of the MCU. I say it. I don't, her and Tom
I
Holland, when they finally do appear on screen together, that movie's gonna make all the money in the world.
I agree with you. I had no idea that Miss Marvel was her first film or TV show. That's like her first thing ever. I thought she'd been in other stuff.
I think she worked in like a short film, but or she was like in some lab for short films that was a part of like TIFF. I know she has a connection to like Taika Waititi or
Oh,
something
okay.
like that. But yeah, I agreed. It
Oh.
wasn't her. That was like her first major project. Her or like it was like a real debut for her.
Yeah.
I love the Marvels. I went in there, empty screen, screening. Well, the screening I went to was super empty. You mentioned Grace Randolph. She was actually sitting right behind me. I'm not even kidding.
Really? Did you get a picture?
I did not get a picture, but it was like it was a weird out of body experience because I was sitting and all of a sudden I hear somebody talking behind me and they're like, "Yeah, I went to this YouTube summit," and I'm like, what? Why are you yelling that kind of information? And I was like, wait, I recognize that voice. And I just did like a quick turn and I was like, oh, I know her.
That it might have been my dad. You said who projects that information? I took my dad to his first press screening. I took
Your
my dad to his
father.
first press screening like 2 years ago. He really wanted to see West Side Story, and I wasn't reviewing it, and I wasn't in a hurry to see it, and I didn't get invited to see it. But he was like, "Oh no, we have to see it. I'm really excited. I really like the original." So I was like, "Okay, well, I'll see if they've got any like screenings coming up that we can like go to London and make it like a half day of it." And I managed to get one. And my dad, who is retired, by the way, it was a small screen, only like six to 10 rows of seats. And I was like, "Oh, do you want to get something to eat after this?" And he was like looking around at all of the other people there who I know some of them, because they're all just journalists like us. And he's like, "I'll think about it before we get back to the office." And I was just like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "The office." And then afterwards, I was like, "What's this with the office?" And he was like, "Well, it's a press screening. We've got to seem, like really professional." And I was like, "I know like half the people there. You
That's
can't
so
bullshit."
funny. That's so. At least he was trying to be on your team. That's cute. That's great.
He was saying it so loudly so everyone could hear, like, "The office. Yeah, when we get to the office." Just like, the
That's
office. That could be anything.
great. That's hilarious. Shout out to Jordan's dad. Honestly, that's an MVP move right there. No, but. What were we talking about? Oh, the Marvels. All right. So I was at the screenings. It was super empty, and I was like, man, they're really gonna make this movie tank. And it was like foreshadowing of like the box office, which we'll talk about in a second. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and everybody in there was laughing hysterically, clapping. And that's why when I go online and I see all these trolls and whatnot, it just tells me that that's not a real reflection of
Yeah.
what people actually experience. I told immediately after getting out, I told Skylar and Derek, I said, that movie was great. And Skylar's like, really? Skylar sees it. He says it was actually really good. It was very up my alley. It is an it's like it reminds me of like peak Marvel, honestly. The movie, the plot itself is kind of weird. The villain has its issues, but like when Marvel was
That's like standard Marvel.
standard Marvel. No, but when Marvel was cranking out the hits for a few years, when like all their movies had really good action and comedy, it was like a great balance. That's what it reminded me of. It wasn't like, and honestly, I felt the same way about Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. I could see why people had issues with it. It very much, in hindsight, seems like an unfinished project, and it did switch places with the Marvels. I don't know if you remember with that. That Ant-Man was supposed to, what?
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out last, and then they moved it first. So, like, I understand why that is the case. I don't understand why they did it, but I understand why it looks so unfinished, especially with MODOK and everything. But with this, I just feel like so many people wanted it to fail, and congratulations, it didn't fail because it made millions of dollars, but it didn't make as many millions as it should have. And I got the numbers here. I want to just go over them real fast. So made the lowest domestic opening for an MCU movie since Ant-Man, which is also really good. It was like if Judd Apatow made a Marvel movie. It was fantastic. I love the first Ant-Man. It made $46 million domestically. To date, it's made $65 million domestically, 161 worldwide. Those numbers are likely to go up because, you know, Thanksgiving week, people go to the movies and whatnot. Now let's go to Ant-Man. Ant-Man made $57 million domestically. I remember when that movie came out, and everybody was like, what's Ant-Man? So I think a part of the reason that movie failed was because people didn't know the character.
Yeah.
But whatever. But that movie actually ended up going on to make $519 million worldwide. So the Marvels has only made a fifth of it so far, and it's only been in theaters for 2 weeks. Ant-Man, I believe, was in theaters for a couple of months. So, I think the numbers are likely to go up. I could see it being in theaters through the holiday season. So we'll have to see. Now let's jump forward to Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Made $106 million opening weekend. So pretty much made double and then some of the Marvels. And remember, it got lukewarm reviews. I think the Marvels got better reviews than Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, if I'm correct, right?
Oh yeah, Quantumania was quiet.
But nothing was as bad as Secret Invasion. I think we can all agree.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that.
And in case you want to throw the argument of Marvel fatigue, this throws a whole wrench in it because Guardians of the Galaxy made $118 million. So it made more. It made about $12 million more in its opening weekend than Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. So the fact that like there's been a drop off with the Marvels, I don't think I see a lot of the argument about Marvel fatigue, but I think it's honestly just a universal or seemingly universal disinterest in these characters and these actresses for what can only be chalked up to be, I think, like a misogynistic reason. Like, I think a lot of the
Yeah.
hate I see is because, oh, it's women. Oh, it's the first
Yeah.
female-led Marvel movie. It's
See.
the first female-directed Marvel movie. Ooh, you know, pumping some testosterone and maybe I'll go check it out. It just doesn't make sense to me. So, I those are my
Yeah, I was
thoughts.
gonna.
What do you think? You think Marvel fatigue is a thing? I think it's an illusion.
I think it was a thing, maybe. Like the break in 2020, I felt like was really refreshing, and they did need a break. I just think it's just their marketing, really, because unless you're on social media, have you heard really heard about Marvels? Because I haven't seen many posters walking around. Usually, even in my town where I live, there's Marvel posters for their new films on the buses, at the bus stops, on the the billboards, whatever you call them. And I live in a small town, and it and like Avengers Endgame was like on every bus stop. But here, I haven't seen anything for the Marvels, so I don't know if that's reflective of their marketing or not. But also, I'm glad you brought up the misogyny part, because I was afraid to mention it. But I also feel like that is playing a massive role, because you know we go on the Twitter account, we see some of the replies that we have to hide,
All the
and
time.
yeah, and I just think it's because one, as you said, it's a film with it's a female-led film. Two of those women are women of color, and then we've also got a black female director. And for some reason, especially with the director, the Hollywood Reporter and Variety have some sort of smear campaign against the director for some reason. Like
Yeah, I saw
today.
that. I saw that. They said she was quick to leave her project while it was in post-production. I was like, I would too, because directing is my only main source of income.
Yeah.
So I need to work on my next project. There's contracts. Hello.
And it's not like she never stopped working on it. She would have gone back. Like,
Yeah, if
she
reshoots,
just
I
wasn't
think there
needed
were
at that
reshoots, but
time.
yeah, no, 100%. I'm gonna tell you why I think this film failed. Besides the
Oh, but sorry,
audience.
that another article was released
Yeah.
today about her as well. Did you see that one?
No, I did not.
Yeah, a new one today, about how she didn't attend the cast and crew screening
She
of
was
the film.
busy. She's because
It
she
was
was
her
also doing
birthday.
press. She was the only one doing press for the movie. Hello.
The screening was on her birthday, so she had a day off on her birthday.
Yeah, that's
And
insane. No,
they mentioned that in the article.
I it's you said it's Variety, right? Is that the one with
This
what
one
does
was the Hollywood Reporter, but I
oh.
think they're owned by the same people.
Yeah, they are. Penske Media. Shout
Yeah.
out. They're, some of their stuff is okay, but yeah, I do agree. They're kind of low key a monopoly. But the one thing is, I know Variety's gotten some stuff in the past because they spoil, didn't they spoil Harry Styles like
Oh yeah.
2 weeks before? And then the first paragraph of their Spider-Man review, they like spoiled the multiverse thing, even though everybody knew it was real. But anyway, the real reason I think this movie failed, aside from people just being misogynistic, which I will always say misogyny is 1,000% real, and I think that's personal hot take. I think
Hot
I'm not gonna say.
misogyny is real.
I'll tell you off mic. This is a really spicy take. I don't think I can say it on this podcast. But one, the fact that it was the first Marvel movie that broke Kevin Feige's promise, which was that you would never have to watch a Disney Plus show to watch a Marvel movie.
Oh, yeah.
For this one, you needed to watch not one, but two to get in the loop. And I do think that they did a good job with Ms. Marvel because she like did you saw the Marvels, right?
No, you know I haven't.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry. My bad. I forgot. I don't. I remember Wish. Sorry, I confused it. Which we also haven't seen, but they do like a cool thing in the beginning with Ms. Marvel, where they sh like a lot of her show, which if you've seen it, has like animation in it. So they do a lot of that, and they kind of give you the gist of like, oh, this is who this character is. And there is decent enough backstory about Monica Rambeau, right? It's Monica. Who's the
Yeah.
mother? What's the mother's name?
I cannot remember the mum's name.
But anyway, between the mother and the daughter, about why she left. And what her relationship with Captain Marvel, I feel like they do a decent enough job at explaining it that you almost don't really have to. And they also mentioned how she gets her powers. She's like, "Wait, you have power?" She says, "Yeah, I did. I walked through like a wall of whatever, in some event that happened on Earth." So I'm like, I think they kind of covered Marvel covered their ass in that sense. But still, I do think a lot of people recognize that they were like, "Oh man, like what if I haven't finished WandaVision? What if I haven't even gotten around to Miss Marvel? Is it even worth it for me to go to this movie?" That was one thing. And also, the second reason why I think Disney just flubbed this is me and Amber spoke about this at length multiple times on this podcast. Disney messed up their whole release date schedule this year.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't know if they messed it up, but like intentionally, it was like weird. From between May and July, there were like seven Disney movies. It was like a new Disney movie every week. Guardians of the Galaxy, The Little Mermaid, the Elemental, Indiana Jones, like back to back, they didn't let any of their releases breathe. And I think people were kind of, I think if anything, it was Disney fatigue. It was just like, damn, I gotta watch all these movies, and then by the then you have like a 4 month gap, and then the Marvels comes out. It's like, And I honestly, I like, I get the November releases, but I don't think November is a good time for a superhero movie.
No, it's like is Thanksgiving a big is that a big thing in America, like moving
Yeah, hell
wise?
yeah. Thanksgiving's the fourth Thursday in every November, man. What's good now? And also, they did it again. Disney did it again. They just released the Marvels, and now they have Wish coming out.
Oh
And then they
yeah.
have all their freaking 20th Century releases coming out. They have the This Girl Wins, Poor Things, and I think
All
the
their
one
Oscar
with,
bait.
huh?
All their Oscar bait.
No. The Jonathan Majors movies was also supposed to come out. Remember? The one they pulled off the schedule.
What
Magazine
one was that?
Dreams.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it had more to do with the trial than the schedule. But
Oh yeah.
and then I think Max, shout out to Max. He told me that I think the Paul Mescal movie with Andrew
Oh yeah.
Scott is also a 20th Century or Searchlight release. So
Yeah.
all these movies coming out, and it's like, and that's on top of Percy Jackson. It's like, I think they, I get they're all in individual divisions, like Disney Plus. The people that run Disney Plus are not the same people that run Searchlight, not the same people that run Marvel or Star Wars. But you gotta space out this content. You know,
Yeah.
did you see the meme about Warner Brothers releasing like three movies in 1 week? Right? They
No.
got the Wonka,
Oh God, yeah, they
Aquaman.
do.
Aquaman and The Color Purple. They're all coming out within like a week of each other. It's
That's
like,
really bad.
yeah, you think?
And
So
I don't understand why they I mean, it's clear that they're trying to bury Aquaman. Why don't they just make it a Max original if they really don't care if it makes money?
because then they could have just made it a tax write-off, and I don't think anybody's ready for that to happen again.
Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, I will not. Though I'm happy that they're saving the Looney Tunes movie because I think it would have been crazy to bury a movie with John Cena right now. He's at the height of his career. So, that's all I have to say. I'm just frustrated with this Marvel's nonsense. Do you have anything else that you want to say about it?
I will do two fact checks for us. The film that you mentioned is All of Us Are Strange, All of Us Strangers. That's the Paul Mescal movie.
Yes.
And Monica's mum's name is Maria.
Maria. Okay. And All of Us Are Strangers, or All of Us Strangers. That's a Searchlight movie? Is that's under Disney?
Yes. Yeah,
Oh,
I
I
think
didn't know
so.
that till Max told me that today. I'm very
Yeah, no,
excited
I didn't
about it.
know until I saw that picture as well.
I've heard nothing but great things about that movie, actually. So
Is it a gay film?
I believe so. And
Oh, I simply won't watch it. I'm joking.
don't watch that shit. No,
I'm gay. I can say that. It's fine.
no. I'm kidding, obviously. I'm
We
absolutely gonna
say
watch it.
this while we're wearing our Iron
The
Canal
Ken shirts, you
hoodie.
guys don't see it. But no, I'm a Paul Mescal champion. After watching him in After Sun, I will watch him in anything.
After Sun was so good.
That was my favorite movie of last year, honestly. So,
It's like my number one. I only saw it this year. It's like I'm really particular with my letterbox list. I have my first watch release of the year, and then I've got my first watch of films released through all the other years, and that's on there from last year at number one.
wow, that is insane. That yeah, I gotta fix up my letterbox. I haven't reviewed a movie like with stars in like a minute. So,
I think you still need to follow me back, actually, saying that.
yeah, I will do that, bro. I promise. I swear to God. Honestly, I only ever go. I check it like once a week, and I never check the followers because that's Letterboxd. If you're listening, I think that's one thing you should improve about your app because, yeah, you tell us when people follow us and when we follow other people, but like. Well, a nice little like notification thing would be nice. Wouldn't it be cool if you had like a little red one in the corner that's like, yeah, this person just followed you. Like, otherwise you have to check, or you have to check your email. That's the only way they really notify you.
Yeah.
I'm done.
The
Get off
best part about Letterboxd is that when you have like 100 followers, it feels like 1,000 for some reason. Because like no one really interacts with each other anyway, from what I
at
see.
all. At all. Unless you're like a meme account.
Yeah.
Or Martin
Or
Scorsese.
yes. It feels like the people with like 1 million Letterboxd followers are the most irritating people. Like they're the only people I've blocked because their reviews are just nonsensical. And they're just trying to be funny, and then they
Yeah.
get like 1 billion likes.
Yeah. All the time.
My
Yeah.
one complaint.
But no, Letterboxd, keep on doing what you're doing. Hey, if you want to sponsor the Diz Insider, or if you want to have the Diz Insider on your podcast, we're welcome to cross collaborate, guys. But no, I think that's it for today. Those are the two biggest things that, like I said earlier, that are on every Disney fan's brain right now. That will probably change in the coming days when Wish comes out, which I've seen some reviews so far. Looks to be middling. We'll talk about it for ourselves next week. But I'm excited. It's a love letter to Disney. You can't, I don't think Disney fans can lose with this one.
I just hope they go back to doing some 2D animation.
I agree. I agree.
But I do fear that it wouldn't make any money because we've been so 3D animated in across all of Western media for so long outside of television that I fear it probably wouldn't make any money.
Hey, never say never, man. I think anything's possible. We could talk about it more next episode, but that interview that Chris Buck did about that, they're open to it. So I do agree that the future is a wide open book, and I think if there was anybody to go back to 2D animation, Disney, I could see them being the pioneer to lead everybody back in the direction. So, but that's as good a place as any to end it, guys. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. Thank you, Jordan, for joining me and talking about the hard-hitting issues that all the everybody on the internet cares about. Just talking nonsense with me, Disney nonsense. Really do appreciate it. Amber, we miss you once again. Cannot wait to have you back soon. Hopefully by Percy Jackson or for Percy Jackson. Would love to have an expert talk about that on the show. But in the meantime, you guys know where to find us. Please, please, please tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram account got deleted. We were pushing 80,000 followers. It is a tragedy. We have to start from scratch, and I think we're just at like 300 or 400 now. So please get us back up there. We have the latest and greatest in all Disney news, everything and anything Disney, the Diz Insider. You know who we are. But that's enough of the time that I have
Oh,
today. Jordan,
I
what
have
do you have
something
to
to
say?
say. I have two things to say. Sorry. Frozen World in Hong Kong Disneyland is open, so flock there if you're nearby. I have no interest personally, but I hear it's actually quite good. Other than the ride being 18 seconds long, I counted myself. And the second one is, I just want to say thank you to all of the followers who put up with my memes that I post, especially the Shakira ones. Some of the people's replies on my Shakira tweets really do make me laugh and brighten my day. So, I don't do them often,
Did you post
but
anything
yeah,
about her tax break today?
I did, but I left because it was real news. I didn't mention anything about how having written the Harry Potter books, which she did. That's factual. If you don't believe me, you can check our Twitter account. It's right there in
It's
front
proof. It's better than
of
Wikipedia.
you.
No, that's great. Now, Jordan does a phenomenal job with our social media. So if you're not following us on Twitter, please do for all of his daily memes. It's great. But yeah, with that, we're gonna let you guys go. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye.